These are cool. But this is more than an opinion. This is Rigidigi Science. A well-treed space is a cooler place. And it might be that a well-treed planet is also, well, you get the idea. We need more green space. That's an increasingly urgent problem of urban design. It's climate's changing, and that's true for trees, as it is for people, which might lead you to wonder, what trees, what plants do we need to be planting now for a still uncertain but decidedly hotter future to toss this about? Joined by Tim Entwistle, friend of the program and director of the Royal Botanic Gardens Victoria, and Dave Kendall, who's a research fellow at the Clean Air and Urban Landscape Hub, the University of Melbourne. Welcome both.
Hello.
Tim, be a climate scientist for a moment for us.
Sure.
Increasing unpredictability, increasing temperature. I mean, what sort of a world are we heading for?
Well, it depends where you are, of course. In Melbourne or in southern Australia, where we're based, we're looking at a warmer climate. We're looking at a slightly drier climate. And that's the high-level headline, if you like. But what's more interesting, perhaps, if you're a plant or an animal trying to survive in that, is the rainfall will come at different times. It'll not only be warmer overall, but we'll get more of those days above 40 degrees. So I think the estimate by 2070 is we'll have 5 more days that are above 40 degrees. And they're the things that really knock plants about and knock us about as well.
Which is a tricky thing, Dave, because we're going to want in urban areas to have more plants because they keep us cooler, and yet those increasing temperatures are going to be tougher on the plants.
Yeah, they are. So plants really live in particular temperatures. So if you go to a really cold city or a really hot city, you'll see that the trees are really, really different. And to be honest, the combination of climate change and the urban heat island effect, which is actually probably even a bigger temperature change than climate change in cities like Melbourne, means that lots of trees that we know and love now are not likely to be around or doing so well in the future.
And yet we've had this thing, it's become, you know, quite fashionable to be talking about, you know, green spaces in cities to keep things cool. This massive urban tree expansion and renewal has been a big thing, Dave, in cities in recent times.
Taking a kind of longer view, if we go back and look in the 1940s and 1950s, actually our cities didn't have a lot of trees, and we slowly had been planting them. I know that most cities have got areas of parks around their inner area that were set aside a long time ago, but in general lots of streets didn't have trees. But slowly we've been planting more and more trees, and these days a lot of most houses have trees outside on their nature strips. Most parks have got a lot of trees in them. But over the last 10 years, we've got to the point where there's this sort of challenge. We're trying to make our cities denser. We're trying to build higher density living, and which is placing pressure on the trees and the open spaces that we have. So it's a challenge to get both of those things happening at the same time.
Well, and into that mix, Tim, of course, we throw this evolving climate, and trees are a long-term proposition.
They are. And you plant a tree now and you're expecting it to live, say, 50, 100, maybe even 200 years. So you've got this interesting situation. If you take, for example, a park or a botanic garden where we now plant a tree tomorrow and it's going to be here in, say, 50 or 100 years, what's the climate going to be then? So one of the things all the parks around the world, and particularly botanic gardens, and Melbourne is a leader here, where we've done a plan for, if you're going to put something in now, what's the climate going to be like in 50 years' time? So you actually plant a tree suited to Melbourne in 50 years. That opens up all kinds of interesting questions too, because one way to look at that is, where's a place somewhere else in the world that's going to have a climate like Melbourne will have in 2070? So where's it going to be a little bit warmer, a little bit drier, have hotter days? And it's interesting, we've done this.
Dubbo.
Correct. and Forbes and parks. But also, if you take that a little bit beyond Australia, places like maybe Shanghai, Chongqing in China, And you can go around the world and you've got to locate these places that have climates like ours. And one way to adapt or to look at what to plant is to look at what they're growing now, plant something suited to there.
Well, this is interesting, Dave, because you would assume in Australia that the native species are adapted to our climate. But if that climate begins to shift, are the native species still, you know, the perfect solution?
I think this is a really interesting and perhaps surprising finding from the work that we've all been doing. So we kind of expected, I think, that the northern European trees were, you know, likely to be threatened or challenged a bit by these changing environments. But also, I guess we came to realise that a lot of the native trees, eucalypts, have got 900 species, and you drive 200, 300 kilometres up the road and you'll see that there's a different eucalypt species along that road. So if we're going from here to Dubbo, that's, you know, quite a few changes of species along the way. So again, I think it's worth saying that this is really a combination of urban heat. So this maybe isn't so true for the suburbs, but in central Melbourne, you know, I really think this is a really big issue, which is, you know, important for cultural reasons, for biodiversity. Lots of fauna, lots of birds and insects live on particular kinds of trees. There's traditional owners that have got, you know, particular relationships with particular kinds of trees. It's a really important conversation for us to have.
We're unpicking, aren't we, Tim, the sort of entire ecological fabric here and well, things are shifting.
We are, but there's a lot of subtlety in here as well. So as David said, the particular species might do better, but what's interesting too is we pick particular ones. So we get a horticultural selection, we grow that in our garden, and it's been here maybe 50, 100 years, it grows well. We can also go back to where that plant grows. So it might be an Australian native, it might be overseas, and you can look for a tree that grows a bit higher up the hill or a bit further down the coast. And we're doing this as part of this work with Dave too, where you analyse what's growing in, say, the botanic garden. You look at the species envelope where it grows naturally and you say, look, let's go and recollect from a place where it actually grows, where the climate's a bit warmer.
So this is all part of your succession planning.
It is.
At the botanic garden.
Yeah, look, it's a landscape succession plan. So it's about trying to keep that same look of the garden. So we're not turning it all into succulents, if you like. Trying to keep that palette.
Oh, brave new world.
But a little, turning some of it into succulents, but mostly not. There's some fantastic trees around. And there's also, you know, people are trialling things overseas and we can use those examples. But one thing I find very interesting too is that you, even when you do all this science and you say this is where a tree grows naturally and this is where it should grow, there's a couple of great sort of exceptions to those rules where we can grow things out of their range. And the Himalayan cedar, for example, shouldn't grow in Melbourne now, but it does.
There's a sort of a paradox chewing at this, isn't there, Dave? We know that things are getting warmer and we know that trees, especially in urban environments, will make them cooler. And yet those trees are going to be challenged by the warmer environment before they can actually cool our cities. How do we? There's a balance somewhere in the middle of all that, I guess, that we've got to strike.
Yeah, I mean, so we started planting a lot more trees, being aware that climate change is coming. Yeah, we've got to cool our cities, plant a lot more trees. And then taking a step back, thinking, oh, what's climate change going? What effect is that going to have on the trees? And realizing that, this might be a big issue. So now the choices are: what do we do? Do we plant those trees from the west of Dubbo because they're not actually great shade trees to be having in Melbourne? I would say so. We've got to be really careful that we don't actually make things worse by choosing trees that maybe are well adapted to that future climate, but don't provide the shade and don't do all the other things that we want our trees to do.
So. And other parts of Australia, Tim, are going to have a potentially even more dramatic shift as the tropics creep down our eastern coast.
Yeah, they are. That's right. So everywhere is going to be impacted in some way. But you've got to look at this. You've got to know your local area and do the sums, if you like, where you live, because it can be that mix of rainfall and it can be and temperature together. And if the tropics are sort of coming further south, if you like, if you sort of put it that way, we need to look up into the tropics for those trees.
How quick can the adaptation be just in the natural environment? We have species, as you suggested, which are attuned to particular climatic settings, those are shifting probably more quickly than the evolution of trees can cope with?
It can be, but it again, there's a lot of variability, and we probably don't quite have enough science on this, but they can adapt. There's more variability out in nature. So in our gardens, we often have a single selection, and the whole thing could cark it overnight, if you like. They could all go. But in nature, there is more variability, more microhabitats around mountains. And in theory, there's some adaptability in there. In practice, when we clear land, when we put cities and urban areas in, when we have plants up near the top of mountains and there's nowhere for them to go any higher, we've put constraints. Sometimes we haven't done it, but there are constraints there that stop that evolution.
And Dave, in the thinking in city authorities, in town councils and the planning and so forth, I mean, how much is this a factor? How much is this being brought into the consideration now?
I think that this is really a live issue, so something that's only really started to be thought about the last couple of years. But I guess the work we're doing is getting quite a lot of traction. People are really thinking this is a big issue that we need to think about at a national and probably a global scale. Mm-hmm. This is going to affect every city in Australia and every city in the world.
Tim, take us back to your gardens and the succession plan. As we look across one of your sweeping verdant hillsides in years to come, what's the species exchange? What's the shift we're going to see?
Well, look, you'll still see palms, for example, but you might see a Mexican blue palm instead of a Phoenix canariensis. So you might see a South African tree. There's one in beautiful flower at the moment called the forest elder, which is not grown much, but you'll see more of those. You might see silk floss trees, which are grown all around Buenos Aires and places like that we think will be like in 2070. So they'll still be flowering trees about the same height. They'll still create the same vista, but we'll subtly vary them. And look, where possible, we will go back and recollect and, say, get a different form of a brush box or a different eucalypt that forms its own kind of look.
And in city streets, I mean, the future of the plane tree, for example, which is so popular, Melbourne's elms.
Yeah, it depends who you ask. Isn't the plane trees, I think David can confirm, is one that we don't think will do so well. It's a robust, tough engineering solution, the plane tree, and not particularly well-loved, and I'm not a huge fan of it, but it's variety and diversity, and I think that's one of the things too, and we've learned this over the last few decades, even with plant disease, the more variety you have, the better.
Because that's the thing, isn't it, Dave? I mean, cities with established treescapes in leafy avenues under threat, that's an extraordinary thing to try and manage that transition.
I think we're learning that we're going to be living in a changing world, and we haven't really come to this with that perspective. We try to paint landscapes and create these predictable things based on historic knowledge, and we're just not going to be able to do that. So we need to be able to allow different things to happen that are a bit unpredictable. So it's a bit scary, but there's also opportunities in that too, I think. So,
well, they're trees. They take a long time to grow. So the planning, well, if it hasn't started yesterday, it should start now. We've been talking trees with Tim Entwistle. He's director of the Royal Botanic Gardens in Victoria, and Dave Kendall, who's a research fellow at the Clean Air and Urban Landscape Hub, the University of Melbourne.